In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're looking at My Catholic Faith. It is Lesson 82, The Torments of Hell. In the image, we see a picture of the suffering souls and the demons in hell. At the top, we see the triangle and the all-seeing eye. Beneath that, it says eternity, so obviously the all-seeing eye of God. And in the, I guess, the burst or the ray of the sun there. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. And so we see impenetrable wall, I guess, between hell and heaven, with black figures representing demons, it looks like, and then some pretty awful-looking people, humans, suffering in the flames. The caption reads, "The wicked in hell suffer dreadful torments. They feel despair, remorse, envy, and hopelessness, because they know that they can never obtain the one thing necessary for happiness. They can never see and enjoy God. They are tortured with envy of the blessed in heaven. They are tormented with shame because their sins will be known to all eternity and completely. After the general judgment, their bodies will share the pains of their souls. They will be in torments for all eternity." Who are punished in hell? Those are punished in hell who die in mortal sin. They are deprived of the vision of God and suffer dreadful torments, especially that of fire, for all eternity. Christ himself, in 15 places in Holy Scripture, refers to the punishment of hell, the horrible abode of the wicked. Scripture calls hell, quote, "a place of torments, an unquenchable fire, everlasting fire, the bottomless pit, everlasting punishment, outer darkness." All who die in mortal sin, even with only a single unrepented and unforgiven mortal sin, are sent to hell. God is continually calling sinners to repentance by numerous graces. He instituted a church to teach them the way to heaven, to show them what to avoid. He instituted the sacrament of penance to cleanse from all sin, to assure the sinner that without any doubt God forgives him. He stands as the loving Father, awaiting with anxiety the return of the prodigal. If after all these graces the sinner persists in sin, he has only himself to blame when he is sent to hell. God does not wish to send anyone to hell. His only desire would be to have all his children with him in the bliss of heaven. The sinner forces God to punish him in hell by defying him and refusing to recognize his authority. When a vile creature defiles his infinite creator, no punishment is too great. Not one single sinner is sent to hell except by his own fault. No one is sent to hell unless he has willfully, deliberately, and knowingly refused to obey the commands of God. We can truly say that the fetters of hell are of man's own fashioning. If a man is given a bright light and he purposely blows it out, can he blame anyone else for the dark? What pains will the condemned suffer in hell? The condemned in hell will suffer the pain of loss and the pain of sense. But no one can ever describe or understand adequately the torments of hell, just as no one can realize the bliss of heaven. The pain of loss. The wicked in hell know what they rejected and lost: God. This pain will be the greatest torment of hell, for the human soul is made for God. They feel despair, remorse, envy, and hopelessness because they know that they can never obtain the one thing needed for happiness. They can never see God. The greater the value of what is lost, the greater is the pain of loss. But the sinners in hell have lost God of infinite worth. Their pain of loss must be in proportion. Instead of God and the angels and saints, the sinners in hell have devils and loathsome criminals for eternal companions. Hell contains nothing good. St. Paul truly says, quote, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God," from Hebrews 10:31. There is no love in hell. The damned hate God, hate each other, and hate themselves. St. Chrysostom says, "Insupportable is the fire of hell who doth not know it, and its torments are awful. But if one were to heap 1,000 hellfires, one on the other, it would be as nothing compared with the punishment of being excluded from the blessed glory of heaven, of being hated by Christ, and of being compelled to hear him say, 'I know you not.'" The pain of sense. The wicked will suffer from fire and the torments inflicted on all the senses, the sight, the hearing, the smell, the taste, the touch. After the resurrection, the bodies of the damned will suffer with their souls. In this life, sinners sin by their senses. In the same way, they will be punished in hell. By what things a man sinneth, by the same he also is tormented. Christ calls hell an unquenchable fire. The sensation of burning is the greatest pain man can conceive of. If one cannot stand for a brief instant putting his finger in the flame of a candle, how can he endure the fire of hell? Christ calls hell the outer darkness. It is fire that gives no light, because in hell the damned never see God, the source of eternal light. Hell is the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm never dies. The punishment in hell is not the same for all. Each sinner will be punished according to the measure of his offenses. Just as in heaven the bliss and glory of the saints differ, so in hell the torments and pains of the wicked differ. God is just. He will not punish a man who has committed only one mortal sin in the same measure that he punishes one who has lived a long life of wickedness. The pains of hell will last for all eternity. If the punishment of hell were temporary, many sinners might prefer to gratify their passions on earth, no matter at what cost and penalty in hell, if it were to have an end. The fear of hell should urge us to lead a good life. Nothing on earth is worth one moment in hell, and do we choose to suffer it for all eternity? Just as the bliss of heaven will last for all eternity, so will the pains of hell, and on and on and on without end, forever. Quote, "And the smoke of their torments goes up forever and ever, and they rest neither night nor day," from the Apocalypse, chapter 14, verse 11. Christ himself said, quote, "And if thy hand or thy foot is an occasion of sin to thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter life maimed or lame than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire," from St. Matthew, chapter 18, verse 8. Why did a good God create such a fearful place as hell? A good God created such a fearful place as hell because he is just and must punish the sinner. The sinner is a traitor to God who created him. God created this world and all creatures. He owns them. They must therefore be absolutely obedient to his will. If a creature revolts and defies God, then he must be treated as an enemy. It is the opinion of doctors of the church that no one in hell is punished as much as he deserves. God sent us his own beloved Son to suffer incredible agonies and death, so that we may be saved from eternal damnation. Can such a God be anything but merciful? We know the mercy of God. We know how glad he is to receive back the repentant sinner. We therefore know that he will not punish too severely, that whatever punishment he metes out will be just. We should have no fear of hell if we do our duty. God will not send us to hell unless we force him. Let us remember that our judge will be Jesus Christ, who so loved us that he died on the cross for us. He is more eager to pass a favorable sentence on us than we are to receive it. We should have confidence in him as little children. Quote, "The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." St. Luke chapter 9, verse 56. The Lord, quote, "is long-suffering, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance." From the second epistle of St. Peter, chapter 3, verse 9. Let us remember always to plead with God for our souls. We can refuse God, but God can never refuse us. On this account, salvation is in our hands. And that completes the reading of this lesson. Any questions or comments? Okay, it does seem very straightforward. Nothing new, I think, to anyone who studied a little bit of the Catechism. I do like to emphasize that the pain of loss, I don't know exactly where I read it, but it's been several years ago, that the pain of loss of the souls in hell is their greatest torment, their greatest suffering. And that coincides, I think, with what has been said here. Our souls were made to see God. We were made to be with God. We are made in the image and likeness of God. So to be eternally separated from God is the worst or the greatest of all sufferings, that pain of loss. And those souls in hell are filled with rage at everyone, at everything, and even themselves. There is no love or consideration in hell. And so we might argue, at least I would have at an earlier age, about the rich man Dives, who was sent to hell, and Lazarus, the poor man, was in Abraham's bosom. But the scripture records, I think, Dives, the rich man from hell, pleading with Abraham to allow him to go back and warn his brothers. So we see that there is some consideration there, affection, if you will, for his relatives. I don't really know what to make of that, because logically he would hate even his own relatives and not wish for them to be happy. He even pleads, I think, for Dives to go back, and Abraham says even if the man were to return from the dead, they would not believe him. They have the prophets, they have all of these, but if they will not believe the law and the prophets, then they're not going to believe even if someone comes back from the dead. Might be worthwhile later for the next one perhaps to check and see if there's any comment on that in Father Haydock's commentary. I'd have to look that one up, but the thought just came to me while I was reading that. The souls in hell hate even their loved ones, is what I recall reading. I believe it was in one of the Fathers of the Church. They hate God, they hate themselves, they hate everyone around them, and I think they would, envious, if you will, jealousy, I think that all goes in hand with hatred of the blessed in heaven. And I think the reason the demons hate us so much is that we are destined to take the places that they forfeited when they went to heaven. And so because we're made in the image and likeness of God, we are destined to be with God for all of eternity. They hate us and do everything they possibly can to destroy us. So I believe what I've been saying this past weekend about our enemy is not flesh and blood, but from powers and principalities from on high. It is these demons who have been around since the beginning, watching us, studying us, knowing or learning and knowing how to tempt us, what the most successful way of tempting us is. You know, they've been doing this since the beginning of time, and we are no match for them. What little we can study, even if we learned everything from day one of our life here on earth, we would never know as much as the devils know about us. And so I dare say that they know us better than we know ourselves. Obviously not as well as God knows us, but they are pretty good judges of our character, our weaknesses, and they know just how to tempt us. And so we must fight them with humility, fight them with the grace of God, fight them with prayer. I think of St. Paul pleading with our Lord to take these temptations away, and our Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you. You're made strong in this weakness." And so I read into that that truly we can fight these demons only by humbly recognizing our own weakness and calling out like little children for help, calling out to the good angels, to Saint Michael in particular, to the saints in heaven, to the Blessed Mother, to Christ. As long as we realize that we are no match for them, we are humbled. That humility is what is going to give us the upper edge, if you will. But the devils are going to be constantly tempting us to pride, to vanity, and they will even feign defeat in order to flatter our pride and vanity to get us to let down our guard. So we must constantly be taking heed lest we fall. As soon as we begin to think we've made some progress, made some success, the devils have already won. As long as we remain humble and strike our breasts, asking God to be merciful to us, the sinner, we recognize our weakness, and we call out to God for help. It is in the grace of God that we are made strong, that we can conquer. Okay. No questions, comments, then we will end with the prayer. What is the prayer we did? The act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.